In our first reading from the book of Genesis, Abraham was 100 years old, and Sarah was 90. Now, both were beginning to wonder if God had forgotten them, if they were really worthy of love. And yet, they both still jumped to serve the three strangers. And in the service of those three mysterious strangers, they hear the voice of God say to them, "You're not forgotten. You will bear a son." Now, some of you may be wondering how much of a blessing it would be to get pregnant at 90 years old. That brings its own question mark. But this was important because through the lineage of this particular son, the only son of God would eventually be born. Abraham had other sons by other women, but it was only the son of Sarah who would become the ancestor of the Messiah. God insisted. And it remained a mystery to Abraham and Sarah, to Isaac and Rebekah, to Jacob and Leah, all the way to Mary and Joseph. And St. Paul, this morning or this afternoon, is the one who finally reveals the mystery to us, Christ in you. The mystery from Abraham and Sarah to the Blessed Virgin Mary was the preparation for Christ. And ever since his birth, the mystery remains for us, not just the presence of Christ, but the presence of Christ in us. One theme that's common from both the first reading about Abraham, Sarah, and the three visitors, and the gospel with Martha, Mary, and Jesus, is hospitality. In Genesis, Abraham's three guests arrive while the day was growing hot. We've had plenty of those. And as soon as he sees them, what's Abraham do? He asks them what they want. "Sir," which is interesting, that even though there are three of them, Abraham addresses them in the singular. "Sir, if I may ask you this favor." And he asks them if he can bring water for washing their feet, can invite them to rest in the shade of the tree, and can bring them food and drink. And the men answer, "Very well, do as you have said." In the gospel, the story plays out a little differently. Jesus enters a village, and Martha welcomes him to her home. As a good Jew, Martha knows the story of Abraham's hospitality. And so she's trying to be just as quick and efficient as Abraham in providing all manner of hospitality. But what did she forget? She was so anxious and worried about many things, being as good at hospitality as Abraham, impressing Jesus — who doesn't want to impress Jesus when he comes to your house — maintaining her reputation as a good hostess. Notice how all three of those many things are about whom? About Martha. But isn't hospitality about the guest? Martha was so busy doing everything for Jesus that she wanted to do for him, she never seems to have bothered to ask what Jesus wanted. Was there something wrong with all the many things that Martha wanted to provide for Jesus? Absolutely not. But there is something a bit off when our serving another is really about satisfying our own needs and not paying attention to the actual desires of that other. If you've ever been a guest at someone's house and they're so polite, right? But the whole time they talk about themselves. Jesus desired to speak to the heart of both Mary and Martha. But Martha was too anxious and worried about her own things, many things, to notice that. Sometimes it's almost like you and I would prefer to save Jesus. But who's the Savior? Can I get out of my own head enough to accept the risk of my hospitality being refused and being asked to provide something different? What if Jesus says to me, "No, I don't want that. I want this." And maybe that's something a little more personal or a little more precious. Martha didn't have to welcome Jesus to her home, but as soon as she did, the real challenge was to let go of what she wanted to do for Jesus and to let her desires be shaped by what he wanted. In the second reading from the letter to the Colossians, St. Paul talks about the suffering that we must endure when we belong to the body of Christ. He says, "In my flesh, I fill up what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ on behalf of his body, the church." Paul does not mean there's something lacking in Christ. He means there's something lacking in us as the body of Christ. Conversion is an essential part of being Christian. And conversion entails some suffering. The point is not the suffering, but the conversion. When Jesus challenged Martha to let go of her anxiety and worries, I guarantee there was suffering in that. But when she did, there was joy as well. Paul says that God chose to make known the riches of his glory. The problem is that a lot of times we were hoping for other riches. But friends, there's one thing necessary in all of our lives. And today Mary chose it, the better part. And here's perhaps the most beautiful line of the gospel, "And it will not be taken from her." When we finally choose the one thing necessary, when we choose the will of Christ over our own will, we'll never lose him. The Christian mystery is the life of Christ in us, growing in us, giving us hope, giving us comfort in our sorrows and sufferings. When we suffer for the sake of Christ, his life grows stronger in us. And we believe that when we die, his life will burst forth, no longer in the hope for glory, but in the actual gift of glory itself. To reinvigorate that life within us, there's one thing necessary: God's will. Listening to him. "Jesus, what do you want today?" Even if he tells us to pursue what we wanted to pursue, then we can pursue it not for ourselves, but for him. Today and every day, let's not forget the one thing necessary. So here's the homework for the week. Ask the Lord each day this week, "What's the one thing necessary? What's your will for me today?" Let's try to pay attention to the desires of the Lord and then to the desire of others in how we serve throughout this week.